اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك ترضى وتمتعه فيها طويلا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
We have gathered to observe the Arba'een, the 40th of Abu Abdullah Hussein, of the Shahada of Karachi, in general and in particular the Shahada from the house of Sister Shama and her sister-in-law. May Allah elevate their ranks further. And the question which rises or which comes to each one of us is that بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ, that for what reason were they killed? Quran says بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. The reasoning which we find over here is love for Ahlul Bayt, love for Abu Abdullah, love for Rasulullah. If that is a dhanb, then what greater sin can be better than that? And that which eases us in all these calamities, in these balas, in these afflictions, again, it is Ahlul Bayt themselves. We recited loads of ahadith in the first ashar, when in one of them, reporting from Rumaila, he says that when mu'mineen are afflicted, we Ahlul Bayt are hurt. When you are in sorrow, we are grieved. When you are in problems, we are hurt. When you fell, we say, ouch. So there is this great mahabbat from Ahlul Bayt, especially for mu'mineen, which eases all of these pains that we see in our life. And again, it is said that when you get hurt, when an affliction pours down upon you, or when a tragedy unfolds in your life, shift your thoughts to Abu Abdullah, to the azab, to the mourning of Abu Abdullah, to Karbala. If you analyze that again a bit carefully, you find that they want to share the tragedy, the afflictions that you are seeing themselves, as if they are inviting you to share your burden themselves. So again, that is another immense mahabbat which Ahlul Bayt have, especially towards mu'mineen. Now then, 40 days ago, a blast and a number of people are killed instantly. Again, to ease this burden, we don't want to say that it wasn't a big tragedy, it was huge. Even if one person dies, Quran says that one mu'min, if he is killed, it is as if the entire humanity is killed. And when a number of mu'mineen are killed instantly, again, it's huge. What is being said over here is that when we want to understand the pain which Abu Abdullah saw on the day of Ashura, a little bit of the burden, it is relieved from us. Here, in an instant, so many perished. There, a long day. He starts before everyone, ends after everyone. He sees the pain of every individual before his eyes. So all those 70-odd shuhada, which he brings forth one after the other, and it was as such that he was by each one of them who is giving away his life. It wasn't as such that because he is the chief of the army, he sits in the tents, just gives commands and instructions, no. When you see, again analyze the maqatil that we have, it is reported that when Ali Akbar, he comes and says that, Father, are there any few drops of water that could quench my thirst? He shows his tongue. And the son says, this one is even drier than mine. That is, he was more dehydrated, he was more thirsty. And maybe for that reason, when our fourth Imam comes by the grave and he buries him, he writes on the grave that هذا قبر حسين ابن علي ابن أبي طالب الذي قتلوه عطشانا غريبا. So thus, we cannot really understand. And many a times, most of these things that are mentioned in Maqatil, we don't seem to understand. When we don't understand, we have to ask Allah to help us understand what exactly this thirst means. Or for example, when it is said that on that day of Ashura, when he inhaled or when he breathed, it bled, the armor bled. That is, he was wounded so much that from the armor it bled. Or other reports may say that يَحُولِ اللَّعْتَشْ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ الدُّخَانِ, that he was so thirsty that when he looked at the sky and when he sighed, it was as if smoke is seen. Now what exactly these phrases mean, we don't know. And when we don't know, we ask Allah sincerely that He teaches us that what exactly it is meant. Now the 40th day, that is the Arba'een of Abu Abdullah, there is a debate among the historians. Some say that on the 40th day, the caravan, it comes to Karbala. Some say it didn't come to Karbala. But in any case, reporting from those who believe and admit that the caravan came to Karbala, among them can be listed Sayyid ibn Taus from Luhuf. And again, we have another Khan Shaheed Qazi Tabatabai in his book, which is 900 pages. He says that the caravan returned to Karbala. And they say that the journey from Kufa to Sham, minimum it's 7 days, maximum it's 12 days. So it was possible for them to travel to Sham and then stay there and come back to Karbala. So based upon that, they return to Karbala. And when they come to Karbala, they see Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, the Sahabi of Rasulullah, who has witnessed the Prophet and five of the A'imma. He is present in Karbala and was reciting his ziyarat for Abu Abdullah. So he was the first zahir of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein on the day of Arba'een. And this caravan from Sham comes to Karbala. They also stay there upon the instructions of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. They stay there only for 3 days. And after that, they also set off towards Medina. Now why do we observe Arba'een? What is the reason for that? Arba'een means 40. Now it is as such that the number 40, it has any significance. Numbers, they have no significance. We can't say that that number is lucky, this number is not lucky, etc. So numbers, they play no part. Arba'een is the 40th day of observing Abu Abdullah. And again, if you look into the ahadith that we have, it says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, says one whose performance at the age of 40, from 40 onwards, says someone whose performance of good deeds is not heavier than his bad deeds, then this person should be prepared to go to the hell. So someone who has reached 40, he has to be careful that his performance, that his good deeds are more than his bad deeds. And again, it is said that the age, 40 years of age, a person when he is 40 years old, he is officially, when intellectually, he is mature. Again, the miqat, when Prophet Musa has his miqat with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, that miqat also takes 40 days. At the end of the 40 days, his rank is elevated. Or the official journey towards Akhirah, that also starts when a person is 40 years old. So, again, Bani Israel, they wept for 40 days, and after those 40 days, their tawbah was accepted. So 40, it plays an important part in this aspect. And again, it is said that if someone was sincere in his amal for 40 days, if he was sincere in his amal for 40 days, that would be certified and that would be accepted from him. And again, if someone has lots of shortcomings in his life, he has many problems, or if he has many diseases as such, for example, If in prayers prayers are faulty, or is afflicted with jealousy, is afflicted with backbiting, afflicted with all these diseases that we have, which contaminate a soul, the teaching is that if he was sincere for 40 days, then at the end of that 40 days period, if he could remove that disease from him, he will be safe. Now, to understand this, a person, he loses his donkey. And there was an Imamzada, he comes to the Imamzada, and there he starts pleading that help me find my donkey. Now the caretaker of that Imamzada, he comes and says that, why is he pleading so much, why is he crying so much? He says that I've lost my donkey, that was my only means of sustenance, and I've come here asking the Imamzada to come to this shrine to find me my donkey. He says, go there. He says, go where? To the other Imamzada in the other place. He says, why? He says, look at the dome. The dome over here is so tiny. That dome is large. It's big. It's huge. Go there. He says, what difference does it make? This is an Imamzada. That also is an Imamzada. He says, here, come only for wallets, key, and if you've lost your knife, keychains, etc. If you've lost larger items, you go to that bigger Imamzada who's got a bigger dome. Now, bear this example in mind. Now, we are like that little dome, Imamzada. That is, the problems that we have in us, may that be prayers, may that be worship, may that be jealousy, may that be backbiting, may that be telltaling, etc., etc. They are all diseases that a person has. Overnight, we cannot correct them. It's impossible. The teaching that has been said to us is that we pick one of these faults that we have in us and try to work on it for 40 days. And Ma'asum says that if you were successful for those 40 days, 41st day, that is secure. And you will have that problem cured for yourself. Now how do we cure? For example, if I am afflicted with jealousy, try hard, and if it doesn't work, try to impose something on myself. That is, if I don't remove this habit from myself today, I won't have my lunch, for example. Or again, if it doesn't work, impose upon myself 100 salawats or a few rak'at of prayer in addition to what I do. That way, by the end of that 40 days, we find that one of these diseases that we had, it's washed away. The same thing, again, another 40 days for another disease that we have, backbiting, telltaling, faulty prayers, etc. So again, for prayers, again, it's the same thing. If we try hard for 40 days to have and to concentrate in our prayers, that will be, after the 40 days, the person, his prayers will be secure. Again, Imam says that, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali alayhi salam, says that, if I had 40 men who could extend their allegiance to me, who could have done bay'at with me, I would have made a move, I would have stood against the enemies. So he doesn't have those 40 men on which he could rely on. Or again, Marhum Kaf Ami, he says that the land that Allah has created, it's filled with a number of people. 40 of them are the Awtar, are the Abdal, upon which our 12th Imam, he depends, and who are the source of carrying out the affairs and providing everything for the land. Again, 40. From the day an egg fertilizes in the mother's womb, every 40 days it has a new stage. That is, every 40 days it perfects and becomes and enters a new zone. Riwayat, they say that if a person drinks, God forbid, once for 40 days, his du'as, they will not be accepted. The same thing is with haram. Anything which is haram, or any meat which is not lawful, or source of income if it's not lawful, someone consumes from that, du'as of such a person are not accepted for 40 days. Again, it's amazing that many times we put a hadith called Risale Huquq, the Treaties of Rights, from our fourth Imam, when about 180 rights have been mentioned by the Imam, and it's amazing that if we get time, at least we just have a glance of what the Imam has said, says that every person has a right on another. Parents on children, children on parents, husbands on wives, neighbors in the community, Imam to Ma'mum, Muqallid, Marja, everyone has a right. So much so that plants, land that Allah has created, each one of them has a right. And if we don't abide by these rights, if we usurp the rights of that Allah has placed for us, it's a sin that we have committed, or the title of ghasib will be given to us. And it's very shocking and frightening. And many a times, not observing these rights, they play a part in our life. Many a times, you find that things happen and unfold in our life. For example, afflictions, they downpour. A person falls, a person gets ill. Now, this is not a hard and fast rule, but we just want to say that we have to be smart. That when these kicks come towards us, when these little tips, when these little beatings come towards us, we have to analyze and see what was the reason. If you remember, because I was told once that when I asked, everything has an expiration date. What is the expiration date of a lecture of a majlis? The answer was, it's instant. The moment majlis ends, it's already expired. Now, as a reminder, it was mentioned from Marhum Shaykh Rajab Ali Khayyat that he was crossing the road and a camel hits him. And he starts analyzing that what was the reason for that kick, why did he kick me? Comes to the mosque, asks Allah to find a solution, and then he was told that he had that makruh thought in his mind. As a result of that, Allah wanted to punish him so that he clears his mind. So, not observing these rites or doing these sins in our lifetime, they have an impact straight over us. A person, he loses his file in one of, no, from quoting again from Tehran. He searches, he is the secretary in the office, searches everywhere, couldn't find it. Now, it wasn't a workplace where there were other people working with him, no one, only himself. So he looks after all the filing system, cabinets, everything was done by him. And the boss, he says, I want that file. He said that, I can't find it. He said, I want it by the end of today. He searches, couldn't find it at all. He says, okay, by tomorrow if you don't get it to me, it's going to be very severe. And then he says that I'll give you till Monday, that is the first weekday, Saturday. And if you don't find it, wait for the consequences. This person was a nice person. Now, people who are nice, Allah also wants to guide them further or bring them back on track if they have done something wrong. So what he does, he comes straight to the mosque. Says Allah, I haven't done anything wrong. The files, I looked after them. There wasn't anything wrong in the office from me. You know that. After that tawassul he has in the mosque, he comes out. Someone unknown says to him, go and see Shaykh Rajab Ali Khayyat, meet him. He says that I did not know who this person that gave me the message, and about that I don't know who Shaykh Rajab Ali Khayyat is. But in any case, he finds and searches for Shaykh and comes all the way to meet him. He was sitting for his turn, so that Shaykh, he talks to him, and before he says anything of his own, that he's lost the file, anything of the file, he says, Shaykh Rajab Ali Khayyat says to him that, it's 3 years your sister's husband has died. You have no terms, no ties with your sister. How was she looking after the 3 orphans? Go and fix that and all your problems will be sorted and you'll find the file. Before he could say anything, he got the answer. He gets up and is amazed that why and how I was guided to this person, and before I uttered anything, the answer was given to me. Gets up, comes straight to the sister's house. To the sister's house, there's a pleading, crying that, can you be tagged and named as a brother, that my husband died? If you were bad with me, the terms between us were broken. But what was the fault of the kids, the 3 orphans? Do you know how I raised them in Tehran with what difficulty and pain. After all the pleading and crying, they say sorry to each other. And then he goes and gets some grocery for the sister, leaves some money for her. And then the terms are okay there. The first day in the morning when he comes to the office, he opens the drawer. The first file on top was the file that was kept over there. No one took. He did not misplace. But many a times Allah makes us blind. He blinds us that we can't see things, we can't hear things. And the reason for that He wants to show His grace to us, much more love to us, so that we turn back to ourselves. Now, in your homes, you must be cleaning the doormats. With the vacuum cleaner, it doesn't clean. So what you do, you take that doormat, bang it on the wall. Sometimes you take a stick and hit it with the stick so that all the dust in that doormat comes out. So Allah also, we don't want to hurt the doormat, we want to get it cleaned. Allah also does it in a similar way, that when it comes to people, He wants to purify them, especially those who are good. All these kicks, these beatings, when they come across in our life, we have to look into them with, why did this happen to me? Why did that happen to me? If you remember again, on the day of that Prophet Ibrahim, when he was walking from the land of Karbala, he trips over and falls into a pit. The first thing he says to Allah is that, what wrong did I do? Was there anything that I did wrong that hurt you, that displeased you, as a result of which I fell in the pit? Says, no, there's nothing wrong you did. The pit you fell in is the pit wherein the grandson of the Prophet at the end of time will be beheaded, and then that majlis and the mourning of Aba Abdullah was recited, and he was informed of who the killer would be. So many a times these afflictions that come across, these balas that come across, seizing away of blessings from us, opportunities, they are all tawfiqat from Allah. And many people, they always waited for such opportunities to knock at their door so that they could benefit a lot. So, rights have to be observed. And if you look into the biography of Marhum Sheikh Hasan Ali Isfahani, known as Nokhodaki, in his book, Nishani as bi Nishanha, when he was asked that what was it that helped you or made you arrive to this great rank, he says three things. First of all, rizq, which was halal. I consumed only halal. Things that are unknown to us or have shubha, don't eat. As it was mentioned in those days, in gelatine, don't eat. No one would die if he doesn't eat gelatine. The same thing is with chicken, the same thing is with meat, etc., etc. If you are doubtful, ihtiyat is always good. Especially after the age of 40, the riwayat says that if someone is 40 years old and he doesn't observe these precautions, then he has committed a sin. So sins, again, it is not only those things that have been mentioned in the books for which there is a punishment. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, he defines sin as such, that says that anything which does not reduce the distance between man and God is a sin. In that beautiful dua he has, he says that, God, forgive me if I enjoyed a blessing of yours and you were absent in that joy of mine. What does that mean? For example, you look at children, you look at babies, you get so happy. Imam wants to say that if I saw a baby, for example, and I got happy and pleased, and Allah, in that joy of mine, you are absent, that is a sin, forgive me. So how delicate Imam speaks. And he lists about 10 things in that dua, which he classes as sin. So rizq halal. He says, Marhum Isfahani says that, first of all, it was that rizq which was halal I consumed. Prayers, I offered them on time, was punctual in them. And the third thing I did was that I respected Sadat a lot. As a result of these three things, now most of the time what we do, we go after the du'as, we go after those things which... But the great people, they say the elements of to arrive at a great rank, it's all those wajibat and muharramat and nothing else. So those wajibat and muharramat are the pillars, are the elements that would strengthen you to elevate. We go after all these chandeliers and du'as and books and things and all that, which are helpful. Or even the tears, Shaykh Abba Abdullah, it is good. All the emphasis is there. But tear, only a tear, without having those elements which are the wajibat and muharramat, it would not be that beneficial. That would be if it was with the elements which is the wajibat and refraining from muharramat. So rites have to be observed. And all of these rites, another thing was that we have in du'as that Allahumma a'inni ala al-buka'i ala nafsi in du'a makarim al-akhlaq. The Imam, he teaches us that say to God that God help me cry on myself. So looking into ourselves, crying upon ourselves, it is good. Unlike what is being taught today by the Dajjal, and that is you have to be happy, you have to be jolly, you have to just laugh, you have to have fun in your life. What the teaching of Ma'asum is that no, it's the other way around. You can have fun to a certain extent, you can be happy in your life, but we have to cry more upon ourselves as to what's wrong and what could happen. So the Dajjal, when we say, it's all these conspiracies that are playing every indecency and which distances us from Allah. So rites have to be observed, halal has to be consumed. And for this consumption of halal, so much of emphasis has been given. Reporting from Marhum Ayatullah al-Uzma al-Raqi, he says that during his study circle, when he was studying in Qom, there was a Sayyid Mahdi, a very good student. And he says that once he, now this is something which he is reporting from his own fellow student. Says once he says that he woke up for Namaz al-Shabs, the nocturnal prayers. And the houses in Qom or in Mashhad in the olden days were such that you've got your room and you have to come down a few steps and you've got the yard in front, and in the yard is a pond and the toilet is also in the yard. So early in the morning he wakes up, comes to the yard to do his wuzu, and he says that I saw my house, it's not like the house which was every time. It's like the sahan of one of the imams, for example, which has hundreds of rooms, hujre, all around. He says that I saw my yard like a sahn, so huge, big, with hundreds of rooms all around. And from one of these rooms, first of all I was shaken, amazed to see what is this vision I see. Comes down and says that I hear someone crying from one of the rooms. I go towards that room and that cry, it's more painful and more louder. He says, I come to the room, the door is shut, locked. I try to open it, it won't open. He says that from the grooves of that door, I saw that there is someone who is buried all the way up to his neck, surrounded with stones, and there are two angels who are doing an operation in his mouth. He was yelling and shouting, stop, stop. And then he says that I focused on who that person is. It's one of my friends who is in Tehran. He says that after seeing this vision, I couldn't say my Nawaz-e-Shab, my nocturnal prayers. I was just waiting for Marhum, for the Fajr time, to go to my Ustad, Marhum Mirza Jawad Aghai Tabrizi. As soon as it was Fajr, I ran to my Ustad's house, banged the door so much. Now the Ustad, he hasn't opened the door. He hasn't come towards the door. Now the student, he's just banging on the door. He comes towards the door, says, Sayyid Mahdi, wait, why is all this banging for? They showed you something, it doesn't mean that you have to get so much shaken and shocked. Now he hasn't. As soon as the door is opened, Sayyid Mahdi, he fell into the arms of his Ustad. Says, this is what I saw. He says, what you saw is the giving away of life of your friend in Tehran. He is dying. The moment you saw was the moment of his life being seized from him. And the reason for that is because he lived on haram, on sud, on juri, on interest. For that reason, that painful death also was for him. And he says that after a few days he receives a telegram, because there were no phones in those days. And exactly it was the time when the vision he saw was the time when he was giving away his life. So haram, it has a bad effect, a bad impact in our life. That is, for 40 days du'as are not accepted. In addition to that, haram, it has that painful doom and the painful end from this dunya, and what is in the akhirat and in barzakh that is separate. So we have to be careful, especially after the age of 40, we have to be careful, we have to have more ihtiyat, more precautions in life, that things if we don't eat, we won't die. Things if we don't do, nothing would happen. So be safe, and that is by precaution. There's another shocking hadith in Masail al-Shia, quoting from a reporter, Hammad bin Isa. Hammad bin Isa is among the companions of our sixth Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Who has reported many, many hadiths. Now once Imam, he says to him, Hammad, come on, get up. I want to see how you pray. Imam saying to Hammad, it's like Imam saying to a marja'i taqlid, for example, that get up and say your prayers. Marja'i taqlid, millions of people follow him. Imam says, get up, I want to see how you pray. He says, Imam, I reported all the ahadiths you've said about prayers. I've reported them to your people. He says, okay, I know that, but I want to see how you pray. He stands and he prays, and then Imam, after his prayer, says, aren't you ashamed of yourself? With all this white hair on your face and your beard, you can't pray properly. Now, if an Imam could be so strong and so sharp to someone who is so close to them, then what is going to be of us, the prayers that we do? Again, one of the reasons, now again, everything is being said to myself. You are just listening and just some reminders. The reason for this, why is it that we don't enjoy, we don't do our prayers correctly? From the Mi'raj al-Sa'ada, Marhum Naraqi, he says that... Now, before we come to this point, when we, in this journey that we are in, that is, heading towards Akhirah, or in this journey of spirituality, why is it that after so much of worship, 15, 20, 30, 40 years of worship, for example, we don't enjoy or we don't elevate? What is the reason? Or when you look into the world, if someone has done 40 hours of flying in the twin-seat jets, they get the flying license. If someone has done 1,000 hours of flying, he gets a commercial license. But how come we, after so many years of worship, nothing happens? We don't elevate at all. Here, Marhum Naraqi, he says that this sack in which we are accumulating all these good things that we are doing, prayers, fast, good things, recitals, ziyarat, majalis, etc. Everything is being filled in a vessel, and that vessel, it has a hole and everything is being drained out. And we don't know how it's draining, where it's draining, and what is the shortfall in that. So we have to secure that vessel, and the reason why we don't secure it, we don't know. And as it was mentioned, these rites that are not being observed, for example, the rite of the sister not being observed by the brother, as a result of which he was blinded, he couldn't find the fire. There are lots of things that we do in our life which we are totally unaware of, and many a times we don't look into it, we don't go after it. And whatever the performance of an individual today is, it's going to be his appearance tomorrow and the hereafter. And it's very amazing that Sirat today is going to be Surat tomorrow. Interior today is going to be exterior tomorrow. If a person is good in this world, his exterior, his form, his appearance will be good in the hereafter. If he is, God forbid, bad in this world, his appearance will be bad in the hereafter. Again, if you recall, it was mentioned that hadith that a person comes to Imam Kazim alayhi salam and says, that someone has come to me and says that your father owes me a lot of money. And I don't know, there is no witness, there is no proof whether to accept him, whether to pay him or not. Imam in reply says that tonight after midnight go to Baqi, recite this. And if you will find that someone appears in the graveyard, doesn't resemble a human, doesn't resemble a beast. He is horrendous. Don't be shocked, don't be shaken. And he comes and sees that happens. Imam says, that's your father. The reason for him having that appearance is that he had a disconnect with Ahlul Bayt. He did not have faith in the Prophet. Because of that lack of iman, not having faith in ma'sumin, accepting them as imams, that is the appearance of his end hereafter. Bad. So, the seerat today, it's the surat tomorrow. Our interior today, it's the exterior tomorrow. Whatever we are today, it's tomorrow. Again, there's a book, Dar Mahzar-e Ustad. It's the biography of marhum Allama Tabatabai. It's not the biography, it's all those incidents which his students heard from him and they've all listed. It's a beautiful book. There says that once in a while during his dars, marhum Allama, he says, Awayun abad dar pishtari. Now he's, for example, giving a lesson on tafsir or on falsafa. Now this phrase of his has no relation, no connection to what he's telling his students. That is, we have an eternal life ahead. We have abad ahead. We have a life which will never end ahead. So be very sharp, be smart, be careful. Now abad means eternity. Now the life which we have, it's nothing. 70, 80 or 100 years that a person does live. It is nothing. Prophet Nuh, when he was dying, Malakul Maut comes to seize his soul. Nuh, now how long he lived, no one knows. He was a prophet for 950 years. The prophethood was given to him at the age of 1,000, 2,000, we don't know, 3,000, we don't know. So how long he lived, no one knows. When he was dying, Malakul Maut seizing his soul, Prophet Nuh says, ah, what a little life I had. Malakul Maut says, you say a little life? What would you say to the people of the end of time who won't live for more than 60, 70, 80 years? And he says, 70 years, 80 years? I would do that in just one sajda. So, rites have to be observed, halal has to be observed. All this contamination which reduces the distance between which increases the distance between us and Allah has to be observed. So that all these shortcomings that we have, or this lack of elevation that we have, or not enjoying prayers that we have in our life, that can be corrected. Sometimes these rulers, although they were bad, they did amazing things. For example, Harun Rashid. La'natullah. He says once to his people that go and find me someone who has heard a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. His advisors, they say that that's not possible. How will anyone be alive? It's almost 2 centuries, or at least a century and a half, since the Prophet has passed away. And there won't be anyone who would be alive at this time. He says, come on, give it a try, go and find someone. They come in search. And luckily, they found an old man, very old, who could hardly sit, who could hardly stand, he couldn't stand at all, who has heard a hadith from the Holy Prophet. Then they are happy. Now, because there were no wheelchairs in those days, they put him on a stretcher, on a basket, and bring him to Harun. Now, old man, he comes to Harun and says that, yes, Harun, I've heard a hadith from the Holy Prophet. I was 7 years old then. My father, he brought me to the Prophet. And there he says that, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ يَشِيبُ ابْنُ آدَمْ وَتَشُبُّ مَعَهُ خَسْلَتَانِ الْحِرْثُ وَتُولُ الْأَمَنِ. That is, as man grows, two qualities in him get younger. One is greed, and the other is long hopes. And he says, you heard that from the Prophet? He says, yes. He gives this old man a sack of gold coins, like a gift pack. He takes that sack, comes out, and the escorts, they are taking him back, taking the old man back to his house. On the way back, he says that on his return, says, can you take me back to Harun? Now, the escorts, they say that your time is up. Your appointment was for that much time, and it's done now. He says, no, I've got something important. I need to see him again. He comes to Harun and says, Harun, you gave me this gift pack, these gold coins. Was this for this trip or do I need to come to you every month? And then he says that, Sadaqa Rasulullah, that a man, as he grows, two qualities get younger in him. One is greed and the other is long hopes. Now, he says, I thought by the entrance of my palace you are dead, and you are thinking of months ahead. So, again, these hopes, greed has to be put aside. Again, to put that aside, as it was mentioned, that we have to observe these little things for 40 days, and it is possible that at the end of the 40 days, a person can correct himself from the wrong that he has. The topic I had in mind for today was this hadith from the Holy Prophet, which is mentioned in Tafsir al-Kafi. There he says that in the Holy Prophet says that لَأَعْلَمُ آيَةٍ مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ لَوْ عَمِلَتْ بِهَا النَّاسِ لَكَفَتْهُمْ. Says that I know an ayah, a verse from Quran, if people, they acted in accordance to this ayah, لَكَفَتْهُمْ, that would suffice, that would be sufficient for them. What is that ayah? It's the second ayah from Surah Al-Tahrim. Sorry, Surah Al-Talaq. Second, the end of the second ayah and the last, and the third ayah. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Whosoever is God-wary, observes taqwa, يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا, Allah will find an outlet for him. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. And he will grant him sustenance, rizq, from where he never thought. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. And whosoever relies upon Allah, Allah is sufficient for him. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالَ وَأَمْرِهِ قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدْرًا. And Allah attains his purpose, and Allah indeed has appointed a measure, a taqdeer, for everything. Now one of the attributes of Allah is that the names that we call him is Rabb. Rabb means someone who provides, someone who raises, someone who educates, provides everything in every aspect. And Allah, when He educates, when He provides in amazing ways. If you again keep that in mind, what was mentioned, that Allah, when He wants to educate someone, it's like those doormats. Sometimes you get those little kids, little beating ups. And that is for the purification of an individual. Sometimes you find in your livelihood that the doors of halal, they are closed. What do we do? For example, we don't find a job. A job that could be halal, we don't find. Now the excuse which mu'mineen, they come up with is that it's rizq. We have to look after a wife, children, so we can do anything which we want, we can knock any door, and we can get any income that can be. That is not permitted. Allah says that the ruling is that you have to have halal sustenance. Now in these cases of emergency, when you can't, you cannot find a way out, He says that the ruling of mine will still stay the same. You can't just turn around and go and knock to whatever door to get whatever you want. Again, this understanding of rizq that we have, haram is not rizq, halal is rizq. Anything is not rizq, only that which is pure is rizq. Impure is not rizq, contamination is not rizq, sin is not rizq. So, in these tests, Allah says, the ruling is that you have to go after halal, now that you cannot find a way out, yet, my ruling, it's still there. It won't move. What do we do? He says, do it. We can't do it. Still he says, if you don't do it, you'll be punished. Or for example, if a young person, he wants to get married, he can't get married. He doesn't find the right person. Or that lust which has been given to him by Allah, a person may say that just relieve yourself from any way possible. Haram, for example, God forbid. Then the ruling is don't. Now what does he do when he's stuck? Aql says do it. Allah says no, don't do it, even in these cases. So what does a person do? The answer is this ayah. It says, مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. That if you are God-wary, if you have that taqwa, Allah will find you an outlet. If you don't find a job, Allah will find you a job. Now many a times, or most of the times, we don't understand these things because we are so much drowned in these materialist lifestyle, in maddiyat, or in all these different ways and means and channels that we don't think of the channel that is the main source, which is Allah. We knock every door but the door of God. Says that in such circumstances, or this ayah, we could say that it's been revealed for only in the cases of emergencies. When a person gets stuck, he has to come to God. Now, in regular circumstances, when everything is easy going, life is there, wife is there, job is there, money is there, house is there, and if a person is obedient to God, it is good, but it's not that great. Great is when someone is stuck, he finds no solution, no way out, and he sticks and abides by the teachings of God. That is great. He finds. Says that you don't find a way out, you don't find a job, stick to this ayah. Whenever you don't find a solution, recite that ayah many times, as much as you can. Marhum Imam Khomeini, he reports from his ustad now. He says that I was afflicted, I couldn't find a solution to many of these things, and I was stressed. He goes to his ustad Marhum Maliki Tabrizi. Says, what do I do? The teaching of the ustad is that after each prayer, recite three times Surah Al-Ikhlas and this ayah three times. He says that until the last day of my life, I did it and never was I ever stressed out. So that ayah has that effect. So, when we don't find a way out, the ruling is that stick to it, don't go towards haram. Now, if you look into the biography of Marhum Sheikh Rajab Ali Khayyat, he says, now, he was an illiterate person who couldn't read, who couldn't write. How come this person who was illiterate becomes a teacher, an educator of hundreds of those who are literate, who have hundreds of students? It so happens that in his 24 or 25 years old, and a scene like the scene of Prophet Yusuf and Zubaykha unfolds before him. He is in a house, no one in the house, a young girl, and she tempts him to that indecency and to that haram. He says to himself, there is no one in this house, it's that girl, she has tempted me. And if that haram also was done, no one would find out. But he is smart. He says to himself that God has been testing me all these days, 24, 25 years. Says in his heart, you test God this time and see what he has to do. He puts that indecency and haram and comes out of the house, and there is a downpour of ma'arif, downpour of ma'rifah to this person. Now, who was illiterate becomes the educator and teacher of hundreds of those who are literate. So that is this ayah, مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. That if you are God-wary, Allah will find you a solution. Allah will find you an outlet. There are certain tasks that we have to leave them for God. If we have knocked the doors that we could knock, the tasks that we could do, we have done, the job which we have to do, we have done, all those duties, that the obligations that a person has, he has done and performed all those obligations, and now he doesn't find a way out, now is the time that you stick to God. Say that, God, I tried, I don't find a way out, and I don't want to go towards haram, I don't want to go and work in places where the income is haram. And the riwayat, they are so shocking that someone who has a wrong income, an unlawful income, a haram income, the impact it has on him is there. That du'as will not be accepted, for example, of him when he provides that to his family, the entire family. And some reports say that if that income is going to affect his children, his progeny, and if they come out to be wrong and bad people, then don't blame anyone, blame yourself. The reason for that was that income which was given and provided to them. So, this ayah, in those tense situations, and that is when a person doesn't find a solution and a way out, the only way out is Allah. مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. إن الله أباد فعلك جعل الله لكل شيء قدرا. So certain things we have to leave them for God to do. We shouldn't put our feet in the shoes of God. He has tasks to do, He knows how to do, He will find an outlet. We don't need to think. Now many times when we just said that, do that, someone who is drowned and who doesn't have this tawakkul and this faith in God, they start calculating. For example, if it's a loan they need, or if it's a wedding to be done, first of all, they say, no, we can't get married, we don't have enough funds. That funds has to be there, or do that job, we can't do it, it has to be there. The bank won't sanction the loan, etc., etc. Now leave those things to God. He says that you do, I'll find an outlet. Or for example, in the battle of Badr, it says that وَلَقَدْ نَسَرَكُمْ, that Allah, He helped the Muslims in the battle of Badr. Just 313 on one side, 10,000 on the other side. Now these 313 were in a bad place, the land was soft, and no much swords and ammunition, no rides, no horses, no catering services also for them. The others, 10,000 in number, a full-fledged kitchen, hot food, and ground was hard, ammunition in abundance, horses and camels also were plenty. But it so happens that because these few people, they had that faith and trust in God, He helps them. It doesn't mean that He helped them through angels. He says sometimes 3,000, sometimes 5,000. No, 3,000 and 5,000 is just to please you. He says, I help you myself. That I will help you myself. I will find an outlet. So do not panic, no matter what the circumstances will be. For an individual, in every circumstances, Allah, He will find you an outlet. The Prophet, he educated and trained like that. If you look into the seerah or the biography of Abadhar, who was trained and raised and educated by the Prophet, Abadhar was in Rabaza before his Islam. Rabaza then was a bad place, he hated to live there, he hated to be there. Rasulullah, he educated him, and during the time of Usman, he was sent in exile to Rabaza. Usman says that he has to be sent in exile and no one has to go and see him off. No one. Amir al-Mu'mineen with Imam al-Mujtaba and Aba Abdullah alayhi wa sallam, they come. They come to see him off. There is a conversation between them, between Amir al-Mu'mineen and Imam al-Mustafa and Aba Abdullah alayhi wa sallam. Now, in one of these phrases, in these conversations that was there, Abadhar says to Aba Abdullah that, now, the reason why Usman sends him to Rabaza is because Abadhar hated that place. But now, that Abadhar is not what he was before his Islam. Now, he is a great person, educated by the Prophet. He says, I don't care where I'm being sent to. If the land which is below my feet was all copper, and if there wasn't a cloud on my head, and nothing grew from the earth, not the faintest lack of tawakkul would be there in me. I still would rely upon God. Everything is from Him, sustenance is from Him. He is the provider, He will provide. That is, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter where he is taken. Again, there is a dua in Sahih Sajjadiyya. A phrase, dua number 7, says that وَتَسَبَّبَتْ بِلُطْفِكَ الْأَسْبَابِ, that these asbab, they are made by Allah. They are prepared by Allah. The means that we have, they are all by Allah, the word of Allah. That He prepares that what is to be reached, what a person should be getting, his sustenance, his rest, his job. That it may so happen that a time comes in your life that you are in a turbulence, you don't find a way out. The way out, it's Allah. Come to Him, knock His door, and He will find you a way out, and that's going to be the best way that would be. For example, the whole tragedy of Prophet Yusuf, when he fell in the well. And then a caravan comes by there. And when they throw in the bucket, a beautiful boy comes out. And then the caravan who takes the boy, they take him to Egypt. There they want to sell him as a slave. And then the ruler of Misr, he comes with his wife to buy. Now what we do, we say that it was all by ittifaq. It was just by fluke. That it wasn't a fluke. If God wanted, that caravan would not have got thirsty. If he wanted, Yusuf would have died. If he wanted, Yusuf would not have been taken to Misr. So all what happens, all these asbab, they are for the uplift of an individual. Or as Imam says in this dua, that all these asbab, they are created by the grace and mercy of Allah, by the lutf and grace of Allah. So when that caravan comes, Allah makes them thirsty for them to come to the well. And instead of water, the boy comes out, and then again taken to the market where they're to be sold. There, out of the blue, the ruler comes to the market to buy a slave. And then he says that he looks benevolent. We can take him, we can adopt him. He can benefit from us. Or we can benefit from him. So Allah, when he wants to elevate someone, he has all these trials throughout his life, brings him to a point so that he is elevated. The same thing is with us. That whenever we find no solution, no way out, the way out is the existence of Allah, Tabaraka wa ta'ala. And there Allah says to Prophet Yusuf that inna makkanna lahu fil ard fa asbaha sababan. But again, in the same ayah, in the conclusion says that wallahu ghalibun ala amrihi walakinna akthara an-nas la ya'lamun. That Allah, he can do whatever he wants, but people, they do not understand. They do not have that faith. They do not know. It's the 40th day of Abu Abdullah and Hussein Ali alayhi salam. The thirst that we talked about, or as it was said that when he breathed on the day of Ashura, it bled, the armor bled. Or the afflictions that were seen by Abu Abdullah on the day of Ashura, they are amazing. They cannot be defined, nor can we ever understand. One of those balas that downpoured upon him was the exam which he has to give, and that is by the infant of Abu Abdullah. The infant, he comes to the camps, there says that, let me get some water for the infant. Brings the infant out to get a few drops of water. Now what does he say? Say that he said to the nation that this is my soul indeed, that is to Ali Yasser. Now all of those who were killed, Imam says, on the day of Ashura, they were tiny, they were small. Now although he is Asghar, but the true reality is that this Asghar of mine is the Akbar indeed. It's the greatest sacrifice which he gives. All those departed were small, and this is Akbar indeed. The great argument of my day of reckoning is this infant indeed. This infant you see is innocent indeed. Nor has he worn an armor to fight, nor shield. See how brittle he is, he can't sigh indeed. Give him refuge or a shelter. But in reply to all that pleading of the Imam, the answer is given with a spear shot by that ma'un armala, which comes and lands onto the neck of this living infant. And when Imam Sajjad inquires from that reporter regarding Harbala, he says, did he admit? He says, yes. He admitted that he came to Karbala with three spears. One of the spears, he says, that I shot into the neck of Aswar. Now the spears which he brought to Karbala were poisonous spears which he had prepared from long before. Then says that the second arrow, the second spear I shot was into the eyes of Abul Fadl bin Abbas. And says that the third spear that I had I shot into the heart of Abu Abdullah. The 40th or the 40th of Abu Abdullah, the messenger of this 40th is Zainab al-Kubra, alayhi salam. When she is born, named by the Prophet, but through Wahi, that is revealed that this infant be named Zainab. Rasulullah, he cries and says and reveals what the tragedies would unfold for her. She with her eyes sees how this household of Wahi sees the first tragedy, and that is the passing away of the grandfather. And after that, not long did it take, 75 days or 95 days. But before that, another affliction, another tragedy, another bala unfolds onto this household of Wahi, and that is the passing away of the mother. In the last few days of Rasulullah's life, Jibreel, he comes and says that I want everyone to leave from the house. You and Zahra and Ali remain. Everyone is out, the three remain. And then says, has some messages to be given to the Prophet, which were delivered. And then says, I've got two messages for Ali. Says, what are they? The first message given to him is that Ali, after Rasulullah, you will be deprived from all what is your rightful authority. And the instructions of Allah is that so that this nation of Rasulullah does not disunite, you be silent, you have to observe patience. He says, okay, patience will be observed. And then says that, Adi, there is another instruction to you. Now upon getting this message, when he listens to that, Ali, this strong warrior, a huge big mountain of might, collapses and faints. What was that message given to him? That after you, Zahra will be beaten up. After you, Zahra will be disrespected. And then it so happens that Rasulullah passes away, not long did it take. They come to this house of Wahi and come to attack this house. If we say that Amirul Mu'mineen was not aware of what is happening, that we don't. He was aware of what exactly was happening. It was a battle of values, a war of values, may that be during the days of Amirul Mu'mineen or even in Karbala. When Abu Abdullah comes to Karbala, it wasn't for a war. He didn't have an army as such. Now, a person doesn't come to a war with his household, with wives and children. Then again, when Amirul Mu'mineen, the house was attacked, those mala'een, they wanted to attack in a way that they said that if we attack, if we fought Ali, we will win. And again, if we don't fight, we defame him, we have won. But everything twists on that day. Amirul Mu'mineen, normally when someone, a man is at home, he is the person who opens the door. When they knock at the door, it's not Amirul Mu'mineen who opens the door, it is Hazrat Zahra who comes and opens the door. As if Amirul Mu'mineen, he is signing the certificate of Shahadat of Hazrat Zahra to go and die for the nation of his brother, for the nation of Rasulullah. The same thing is seen in Karbala, that Abu Abdullah, he fights for the values. That again, when this happens in Medina, the hatred of those infidels who attacked the household of Wahi was seen and known and understood more. That it wasn't Ali who was bad, it was those people. How come they attacked someone? A woman, they burned down a door, they burned a woman down, and that baby also dies in the womb. The same thing in Ashura. They saw the evil of those who fought about them. So Zainab, she sees what happens with her own eyes in her young age, that that house of Wahi is burned down, her mother, she is beaten up, and she passes away. In the last moments of the life of the mother says, Zainab, I have a wasiya for you. And that is, this shroud belongs to Aba Abdullah. This is your brother's shroud. And then he says that this is the shirt that keep it with you, belongs to Aba Abdullah. And the day he calls for that shirt, know that that is the day of separation between you and your brother. A request I have from you, and that is, you kiss the neck of my son Hussein on that day of Ashura. She says on the day of Ashura, after the tragedy unfolds, that mother, you wanted me to kiss the neck of my brother. I kissed the neck, and in addition to that, I kissed the veins of my brother. So she sees the bala that unfolds, and she was the first one to see the bala which unfolds on this house of Wahida, that is the shahadat of her brother, Imam Mujtaba. She was the first one to see him throw a flood. She informs Aba Abdullah to come and help. Again in Karbala, she gives the most sacrifice. When it comes to protecting the Imam Aba Abdullah, she protects him in the best way. Now a father whose son has passed away, that father is shaken, he is shattered, he is broken down. Imam, he's bringing down bodies after bodies on that day. But when he brings the body of Ali Akbar, what Zainab does is that she takes the body and sends him back to the battlefield. So that if she starts crying for the son, the father will be broken down. She wants the father to be strong, go back to the battlefield, I'll take care of the body. And then she weeps for the son. When it comes to giving a sacrifice for the Imam, she gives away her sons, Aun and Muhammad. And on the day when the heads were given back to the household, they find these two heads as lost property. They come and say, whose heads are they? Do they have no mother? Have they no father? And they say, yes, the mother is Zainab. When they come to Zainab, they see she's got someone else to cry, and it's the brother Hussein, not the sons. Throughout her lifetime, she has 7 trips. Out of these 7 trips, only 2 trips, which she, 2 journeys which were in honor. But the other journeys, and worst of all, this journey of Karbala, it is in those trips she was reminded that when she wanted to embark a camel, a ride, the brothers were there. Abbas was there, Akbar was there to assist. But now Zainab, she helps everyone and there is no one to assist her. When it comes to worship, worship of Zainab is second to none. Daughter of Amirul Mu'mineen, her worship is amazing. But on that day of Ashura, she cannot stand and worship. She is broken down. An old hunched woman, someone who saw her on the eve of Ashura. When it comes to tafsir of Quran, Imam Sajjad, he says that he is alima wa ilma, that she is being taught by Allah. She doesn't need to be taught by anyone. The sacrifices which she gave, the speech which she had, and it was the sermons and the khutbahs, the speech of Hazrat Zainab, that shook the court of Ibn Ziyad, the true court of Yazid. And when that caravan is to come back to Medina, they adorn it in a very lavish way, and this household of Wahy is to come back. She sees the rides, she says, do you want us to sit in these caravans? Do you want to sit in these rides? We won't. We are in mourning, we are in azar, and everything should be turned black. So she turns everything black, and she comes in a way so that this message of Aba Abdullah is given to the people in the light. Zainab, she is great. In every aspect, she is great. Her blessings are there today, as her support was there yesterday. She helps everyone, every majlis which is held for Aba Abdullah, her support is there. And the love which she has for her brother, that's again amazing. Abdullah, her husband, says that, I was amazed that the day when Zainab is giving away her life, she says that, Abdullah bin Ja'far, take me out in the sun, in the heat. Says, why? Says, my brother, he died in the heat. You want me to die in this shelter under this roof? And when you say that I saw her when she is giving away her life, there is something in her hand which she puts onto her chest, kisses it, hugs it, repeats it over and over again, and then all of a sudden I see that she has passed away. I come and see it was that blood-stained shirt of her brother Abdullah, which was with her, and she gave away her life in support of the Imam, in love of the Imam. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, by these tears shed for Aba Abdullah and Hussein, the household of one, for the Arba'een of Aba Abdullah and the Arba'een of the Shuhada of Karachi, may Allah forgive us all. May Allah elevate the ranks of all those who have passed away, in particular the Shuhada of Karachi. May Allah Jalla Ba'ala defame everyone who stands against Islam and Muslims. May Allah grant dignity to all Muslims and Islam. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala hasten the arrival of our Imam, our Master, our Hujjah. And may he enlist us among his true supporters and servants and those who seek martyrdom in his service. May he Jalla ba'ala grant shifa to all those who are ill-ailing and all those who have requested for dua, all those who have passed away, for each one of them, and a thawab and reward from this majlis to be sent to the marhumeen, and in particular to the marhumeen of those present in this majlis. We recite the ayah a few times, for whatsoever the problems mu'mineen will be facing, for them to be granted, for their wishes to be granted, for the afflictions and balas to be removed, for the rights that we do not observe to be observed, for all the contamination that we have in our life to be corrected, and that Allah guides us and by His grace even more throughout our life. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa Muhammad. Amma